in perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct, right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Roy Carter.
A Viking is in the time.
He gets inside, well inside.
In any weather you can see us with your grin. Listening to the skin, you're not really behind the chair.
Oh, Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to a special preliminary final edition of Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we've been doing the show for, what, 5 years? We've never done a preliminary final preview before.
No, we haven't. It is new and uncharted territories. And Nick, frankly, if a few regular listeners didn't tune in this week, I wouldn't blame them because even I'm sick of Richmond years.
It's fair to say that the prospect of a Adelaide versus GWS grand final doesn't have the football world talking as much as the Richmond resurgence of, you know, the prospect of an MCG filled with 90,000 Richmond supporters baying for blood. I was going to compare it to the Colosseum, but more in the Lions versus Christians style rather than two gladiators with two teams barracking for them.
Yeah, the difference with the Colosseum is that essentially the way the league's been set up, we are the Christians, except in this case the crowd will be barracking for the underdogs.
I know. It's going to be an incredible occasion. Yeah, I already feel sick talking about it. Like,
I am so impressed. Like so we know Tiger fans, we know how loyal we've been. Mm. We know how about the bandwagon narrative is a myth promoted by lazy media. You know, if you did a analysis where you compared ladder position to crowds, Richmond has always done spectacularly well. But to turn up in such large numbers to a plim, like, it was the one thing for the Geelong game because it was sort of, you know, it was the first time we finished top four. Mm. But then to turn out in such large numbers for a game, against a team that, you know, frankly, a lot of people don't care about if they're not draft.
Well, 14,500. We didn't get that many fewer people than that to the VFL preliminary final than GWS got to their home final.
Okay, there'll be plenty of GWS hate in a sec, but
we'll get there.
But you know, to turn on such large numbers when the tickets are so expensive, I mean, that's what depresses the crowds for these games, is that, you know, a lot of the marginal supporters don't turn up because not marginal, but people are more sensitive to price.
I know, and you've got to deal with Ticketek. There's none of the rocking up to the MCG that people love about a regular season home game. Yeah, it's painful.
It's painful and it's expensive, which is why even when two Melbourne clubs play, they don't fully sell out the G like we've sold out for this preliminary final. So the sort of the dedication, the loyalty of Richmond fans to turn out in such large numbers is incredible, considering, you know, just to put the tinfoil hat on, to once again we've been treated shabbily by the AFL. After 5 years of good crowds, we have one bad year, and we're given no Friday night games, we're sent away to Geelong, all things that never happened to Essendon or, you know, the Carlton, which hasn't been a big club for almost a decade now. We are consistently treated badly by the AFL.
I think it's wrong to say badly. I just think we're just treated with a indifference. They take us for granted. They don't care.
Yes.
Like if you put Gillon McLachlan, in a hall of mirrors and forced him to tell the truth, of course he'd tell you he wants GWS to win. Like the AFL wouldn't have spent the past decade prostituting its draft system unless, you know, it wanted the GWS to succeed, and that Richmond crowds come regardless of whether or not we're any good or not, means that they can take us for granted, and they do. Look at the discussion over a women's team. You know, they're looking at, well, some of the smaller clubs might need the marketing boost that comes from a women's team. It's once again taking us for granted.
It is extraordinary, and the sort of the myth is that they You know, I'm sure they'd love to believe that it's because of marketing or anything like that. It's not. They've treated us badly. There is no love for anything the AFL has done. And frankly, the things like the countdown clock, they've destroyed the atmosphere of Richmond games. The Richmond atmosphere was better 20 years ago. Most of what they've done has made it worse. Mm-hmm. But the reality is just Richmond fans, for some inexplicable reason, just love their club with an intensity and a passion that, you know, we're obviously one of them. And, you know, once again, have we made all the right life choices to be so obsessively in love with a club that has not returned
that love.
Yeah, I don't want to say they haven't always been bad. Sometimes they've been mediocre, but they've never been good to extremely good. That normally is what Russ supporters on. So yeah. Anyway, so Nick, I've got a confession to since we're going full tinfoil hat.
Mm.
So my greatest fear when the GWO started, and we should preface this by saying that we're both associated with Canberra supporters. So when the GWO football, and I love Canberra AFL, it's very dear to me. I'm a Melbourne boy, but Canberra AFL is a great love of mine. Mm. And we both
played in the lower levels of the ACTFL for quite a few years.
Yep. But we were both foundation members of the GWS.
Mm.
But my greatest fear when they gave them the ridiculous amount of incentives, which were not, if you listen to our podcast, we've been bagging this for years.
Mm.
They were not ridiculous in hindsight. They were ridiculous at the time. And no professional sport has given so many concessions to, they destroy competitive balance in the AFL. The one thing that saved them is that the Gold Coast have been so badly managed that they haven't been the other Titan and the GD, and you'll talk more about what they'll give.
Well, I mean, that Gold Coast got a pretty generous set of concessions, but that they just took it to another level. They invented these, they gave them priority access to the Riverina as a development area, which, you know, is a joke. You talk to people from the region. These are proud football, country football clubs with 100 years history. To describe it as a development area is ludicrous. That they also gave them these access to these priority mini draft picks, and so you ended up with a situation, you know, that over six drafts, GWS got 10 top five draft picks. They've got 22 first round draft picks in that time, and that's not counting the substantial number of first round draft picks that they traded away. It's this isn't a heartwarming club story of a little club. This is the heartwarming, less than heartwarming story of a club that was given every advantage and in spite of itself hasn't become an unstoppable juggernaut. You know, club cultures are hard to build. The AFL just put it in a position where it couldn't not succeed. And it was prepared to compromise the fan experience for the other 17 clubs to do whatever it takes to achieve that objective.
And so my fear here is on all of this, because we've been, you know, ranting about this between ourselves and occasionally on the podcast for years. It was never an existential worry for me when Richmond was mediocre. Mm. You know, the last 4 years.
It was always somebody else winning a premiership. I didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, if we were going to be second. Exactly. Like, it didn't matter as much. But my greatest fear has always been that GWS would be, you know, we'd lose the grand final to them or lose the prelim. Because I'd back us in to beat Adelaide in the grand final. I might not say that in a week if we beat GWS. But my greatest fear has been this, that GWS will stand between us and a grand final. And if we lose it, I'm just terrified. And we'll analyze the team. We'll analyze the players in a sec. But, you know, in sport, talent does matter. Mm. On average, the more talented team does win. And Richmond may be the better team, but GWS definitively are the more talented team. Mm. And that just fundamentally worries me about this game, because they were just given, as you say, so much.
I'll go into the individual players later on, but you look at every line, it's just first-round draft pick after first-round draft pick. So that they'll have, in their last game, they had 12 players in the team who'd been acquired through a national draft, some others who'd been picked through their draft concessions where they got access outside the draft to the top players from that age group and some of their free agents. Well, they've got 12 players who they drafted through the national draft. And one of those players was drafted out of the first round. And none of them were drafted out of the top 30. They've got one rookie pick running around as a regular player, and he came from their Riverina zone. Like it's you know, you look at the Richmond team. We've got four players on the team who went through an entire national draft without being picked, and you know, six guys who were first round draft picks rather than 12. It's not a level playing field, and the AFL has not cared one bit about how far it has to tilt. So yeah, the redeeming quality to it all is that I think we're the better team, and therefore we've got a chance.
Exactly, and the sort of the bottom line of this is that if we win, it should be savored for a very long time, because it is my favorite non-Richmond game of the last decade was the Bulldogs final last year. I thought that was an absolutely wonderful game because they ran over the top of them. They beat them with heart. And you know, we're actually coming to this game favorites. And that is a triumph of organization, of hard work, of footy nous and team culture.
I think playing on the MCG doesn't hurt either.
It's true, but it's going to be a difficult game emotionally for us.
They've got a lot of really good players, good players. You know, we've got really good players too, but it's there should be absolutely no sense of complacency about the task ahead of us.
Actually, to be honest, Nick, and we're going to turn positive in a sec. I was a bit annoyed. Like, I know why some media are talking about the clash strip, because some media love to build us up and tear us down. It's fun for them, and, you know, let's face it, it gets them clicks. Other supporters like it, so I don't blame them for doing it. Why on earth KB would buy into that debate? Like, I know he likes to troll and talk up Richmond, but it's so obviously something that would be thrown against you. And, you know, it's not the mood of Richmond supporters. Richmond supporters... Nope. Everyone I know, you know, someone might be quietly confident, but no one I've spoken to is thinking a second beyond Saturday night.
Absolutely not. And I'd prefer us to play in our traditional strip. I've never understood the complaint that there is a clash with the Adelaide strip. That, you know, one.
I don't care. I don't want to talk about.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. And honestly, we could play in the 1951 Hawthorn Magnolias top or whatever they were. Like I couldn't care if it features Trent Cotchin holding a premiership cup above his head. I just don't care.
Yes, exactly. Okay, Nick. Analytically, how do you approach this game?
Well, they've got a really good midfield, and it feels almost cliche to say so, but they've got a really good some really good mid-sized defenders, and Toby Green is possibly, when he's not being an idiot, is possibly the best mid-sized high forward in the league. But the
AFL rankings say that he is.
Yeah,
they say that he's the best player in the Giants.
Yeah, wow. Oh, look, it is an elite midfield, and it runs really deep. That, you know, we've talked about how good it is that when you've got someone like Jack Graham, who's your fifth or sixth inside midfielder, cracking in. Well, they've got Jacob Hopper, who's a top 10 draft pick and a contested ball winning beast, as their fifth midfielder. They've got, you know, Josh Kelly, you know, absolutely elite endurance midfielder. Lockie Whitfield, first pick in the draft, again, elite outside runner, Dylan Scheel, who's, you know, very explosive inside-outside midfielder and absolutely flogged Dion Prestia at the start of the game when we played them last time. Stephen Coniglio, again, you know, big tank, works hard both ways. Callum Ward has had a lot of good games against us.
Yes, very good player. Very underrated, I think.
Yeah. Look, Tom Scully, again, you know, not the best player in the world, but very very hardworking, runs both ways. That is a deep midfield, and if we're going to lose the game, that's where it's going to happen. They're the number one clearance team in the league, and you know, if they don't have the absolute superstar that we do in Dusty, they bat pretty deep in some high level talent, and it's going to be, you know, we're going to need Cochin.
They actually beat us in the contested possession in the in the last game that we won.
Yeah, well, they're the number one clearance team in the AFL, number one stoppage team in the AFL, and it's a really high skilled midfielder. They if we're the best or second best team in the AFL at generating turnovers, they're just about the best team in the AFL at not giving up turnovers, because they have a lot of high quality users of the ball. Because again, you've got these kids who are each one of them one of the best players in their draft year. That, you know, blind Freddie could have drafted for the Giants most years.
Mm. Yeah, you could have used the Big Footy Phantom Draft and built a premiership team quite easily.
Oh, absolutely. So look, it's got to start there. And I mentioned the Prestia Dylan Scheel matchup didn't work out last time. He's in much better form now, thankfully. Because that didn't work out well, and perhaps I'm scarred from watching the first quarter of the game the way we played them last time. Because that for me is the template of how we lose. That the Giants midfield gets on top, and with the help of relentless Tiggy Touchwood free kicks, we never get the chance to set up our defensive zone. Yeah, but they're not. They're not unbeatable. We had a better percentage than they did, which tells you that they've got some flaws, and that the defence is good with Phil Davis and Aidan Corr back there, but it's not. They haven't got an Alex Rance, and they've got some very good mid-size defenders, Nathan Wilson, Zach Williams, Heath Shaw, but our small forwards gave them trouble last time, and we were able to generate that relentless pressure that has won us games. So there is, and Jason Castagna didn't play badly either, which is something to think about. But and the defence, well, I think Stevie J, as we saw on the weekend, is still an elite finisher, but everything leading up to the point where he's actually kicking for goal, he is no longer of AFL standard.
No. And, yeah, I'm fundamentally... I mean, again, there's now been so much trash talk about him scoring junk-time goals that sort of reduced the effect, but they were junk-time goals. And he's sort of... Geelong got rid of him for a reason. He does a lot of good things, but he wastes a lot of opportunities too. And... we rely on that selfishness and that lack of team cohesion to get over the top of them. By the way, in the game we beat them, we were playing Soldo. We were not the sort of, I think it's fair to say, full respect to Soldo, we've definitely praised him for the role he played, but he was not our best 22 players. We didn't play our best with him.
No, and Toby Green was a very bad matchup for Jaden Short, which I think we're both fans of Jaden Short. But so
who gets him this time?
I think it's going to be a rotating cast in the same way that it was for the last game. That I think it'll be somebody different, perhaps Dylan Grimes when he's deep. But I think Nathan Broad may well get the job further up the ground, and I think Nathan Nick Vlostone will be part of the solution as well. Because I'm pretty confident that we'll let Dave Asprey play against Jonathan Patton, and Jonathan Patton is a very large, very strong human being. And again, he's good, but he's not as dominant as you would perhaps fear he would be, for being a first overall pick in the draft. So, I think we can leave Asprey there. I think we let Rance take on different matchups depending on, you know, how he reads the game, but it won't be a static 1-on-1 matchup. I think they'll cycle through a number of guys. They may play Himmelberg actually as a again, of course, because he's with the Giants, he's like Jacob Townsend, except a first round draft pick and 6'4" and very quick. So and has a background as a defender. So they may try that tactic of effectively playing Himmelberg on him as a defender to stop his dominance.
Yeah, but there's always I do wonder with the Giants and the Suns that, like, it is difficult to get those guys who are first-round draft picks and never played a role to, you know, it's difficult to mesh 22 stars. So it will be interesting whether they can make it work.
Mm.
I think there is... I wanted to go back to the midfield in a second and, you know, just making the case for all their picks and for all the advantages that has been given to them, the best player on the ground played for Richmond in our midfield.
Mm. Yep. And he's going to have to do it again. Like, there's... We can't have a 21 disposal game, I think. I think it's got to be another Dusty special.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty confident that we it'll be a Dusty special. But I'm just looking. He had 17 contested possessions when we beat them. So yeah, that's pretty good going. Oh, and he had 20 contested possessions on the game we lost to them in Sydney.
Mm.
So. Yeah, so he's averaging 18.5 contested possessions a game. That's pretty sort of, you did that just for, if you don't follow the stat, that's if you did that every week, you'd set a record.
Yeah. And they've had trouble generating avenues to goal other than, you know, Patton and Green are sort of the two main targets for them. But they are, in the absence of Jeremy Cameron, they won't have anyone in the team. So we played them twice this year. They won't have anyone in the team on Saturday who's kicked multiple goals against us.
Yeah, nice one. By the way, just continuing the theme of who's got the best players on the ground, we've also got the second best player, Nick.
Alex Rance?
Exactly.
Mm.
Is there anyone at 25 on the Giants list that you would rather have than Alex Rance if they're all the same age?
Running out on Saturday? Nope. I'm deeply fond of. If you ask me who for the next 10 years, I'd have Josh Kelly. But
but if they're all the same age,
they're all the same age, to play a game for my life tomorrow, I'd rather have Alex Rance and Dusty. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. So you know the team cohesion. Mm. I mean that like it's. Like, this is not unusual for us, for Richmond, that, you know, we do have a lot of players on our team who aren't big game players. And in fairness, Adelaide are the same way, and they actually touched up the Giants. So
that was very impressive.
Yeah. And maybe the Giants went in too top heavy. I'm very pleased, by the way, Nick, that there's wins scheduled. Mm. For the weekend. As a taller player, I preferred the wet than the wind because, you know, the wet, at least you get to use your body.
Mm.
But the wind, you know, really stuffs up your marking because it makes it harder to judge in flight. So
yeah, and we need those chaos balls. Like as frustrating as kicking for goal can be on a windy day, that chaos balls in the forward line are a good thing for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully that'll play in our favour.
Brett Delidio has been interviewed a lot this week, and you know, I think we're all happy for him that he's reached 250 games. But I'll be exceptionally happy. Well, you know, I'll be exceptionally happy if he continues the pretty poor form that he's shown the last few weeks, and that you know that we can clap him off the ground a loser at the end of the game. But he's saying that, you know, the big open spaces at the MCG should suit the Giants because they're a very athletic team, which is true. And you know, I thought that a couple of years ago, actually. When in a game we won, I thought, ooh, they're going to be a handful. But their record at the MCG is still really poor. And ours is really good, which seems inexplicable.
Yep, and, you know, we know every corner of it. And every corner of it will be egging on the pressure and the cauldron atmosphere. They will feel the hostility and the tension. And, hopefully, you know, who knows, maybe they've developed some team cohesion that they will start to shatter and argue with each other, like they did, last time they played us.
Yeah, hopefully so, and that, you know, the big part of home ground advantage of creating that noise and the pressure so that every time they get the ball, you know, there's a Richmond player on them and the crowd baying for blood the pressure reinforces itself so that it feels like there's no escape from it. Like they've talked about, we'll feed off the crowd. That crowd is going to be yelling out "ball" every time they're tackled. Like, you know, hopefully it's going to feel like they're playing against more than 18 men on the field.
Yeah, and credit to the Giants supporters, they probably won't put in a complaint about Richmond fans booing too loudly. Now, Nick, you're always nervous. You're always terrified before games. And obviously, this is a very high-stakes game.
Yeah.
Like, putting those handicap factors in, how are you feeling? How confident are you?
Oh, horrible. Like, having I'm in a couple of footy tipping competitions, but one of them, if I'd just tipped as an average tipster on Richmond games, I would have won the whole competition. But because I almost always tip against Richmond, because by the time Friday comes around, I'm, you know, convinced that we're going to lose and that we're all going to die and there's nothing we can do. And oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So yeah, that process has already begun for me.
Yeah, this is a very, very hard game for me emotionally, harder than the Geelong game. And, you know, I know we could lose to Adelaide. Look, Adelaide destroyed us.
We will start probably two-goal underdogs, which gives us a shot. But
I would much rather lose to Adelaide, which, to their credit, I mean, Adelaide are entitled. They've got supporters who have a sense of entitlement, to repeat myself. They've got enormous resources, and yet they are still infinitely more meritorious and have infinitely
the resilience they've shown in the last couple of years has been incredible. So you've got to you can hate them, but you also have to respect them, I think. Whereas
and ditto without going into it, ditto Geelong. Actually, you know, I don't like Geelong, but I really respect them.
Yeah, I still think very fondly of Leon Cameron from his Richmond days, and we've met him as Giants coach, and it seemed, you know, Wayne Campbell's involved with the Giants and Brett Delidio. Like, I know I have no ill will to the individuals involved, but it's just, you know, they're playing.
I just despise the abomination that it is.
They're playing for the Death Star. There's
Yeah.
There's no fun in barracking for Alderaan to get blown up.
Yeah, nicely put. All right, so after that outpouring of nervousness and bile and aggression and whatever else for the game, on a much happier note, Nick, our Richmond team is playing for the grand final.
They are. So Sunday afternoon, the Fairfield Tigers will be playing against Port Melbourne in a little bit of an upset. Williamstown and Box Hill finished 1-2 in the VFL this year, and both of them lost in the preliminary final weekend. I actually had I'm ashamed to say that I haven't checked the betting odds for the VFL grand final, but on the way we've been playing,
let me down.
The last couple of weeks, I think we should start favourites.
Yeah, they are. They're bonded, no injuries. A couple of guys like Stevie Morris is starting to sort of play decently, and he's one of those cracking in hard, mature bodies that you need to win. And obviously, Miles is playing well. You've got a great cadre that the young players are complimenting well.
But Tyson Stengel and Shai Bolton have been terrorising defences. Callum Moore's put together a really consistent final series as well. I was watching the replay of the game on YouTube, as you do, and he's still, you can still see why he didn't get drafted in a national draft. Like, his reading, the play still needs work, but all the development staff have done some good work with him. He is coming along nicely.
Yeah, and he's born an exciting athlete.
Oh, he's a elite. He's well above average for senior AFL football, never mind VFL. And yeah, it will cause me great pain if that time and the skill that Corey Ellis shows at VFL level doesn't ever translate to senior football for Richmond.
Starting to look more promising, though.
Hmm.
Starting to look more like an AFL player.
Yeah.
The thing that worries me slightly is the numbers are still too low. Hmm. Go back and look. So I know you know this, but I'm just saying rhetorically, what Anthony Miles was doing before he got his first senior game, or even Jacob Townsend.
Yeah, I do think it's a slightly different for the more outside players, but yeah. He's had some sort of high 20s, and he's got his tackle rates sort of 7, 8, 9 a game, which is fantastic. So he's kicking the odd goal. So yeah, just a little bit more would be nice. But it seems like they've got really good team spirit as well. Sean Hampson's playing well enough that it wouldn't be a complete catastrophe if Nank got injured. I mean, it'd be horrible, and certainly don't want it. But it seems like less of a disastrous proposition than it might have a month ago.
Yeah, unless it happened in the fourth quarter, we wouldn't be playing the next week anyway if Nank got injured. So
no, well, so we've talked about GWS at length. We've talked about the VFL. Would you make any changes to the Richmond team?
No, and Shai Bolton sent out the last quarter of the VFL. So I don't know if that was bluffing or it was for other reasons, but I just we discussed it both times and the two pods we've done since the last game. I just can't, your team built on pressure. You got to dance with the one that brung you. You can't, the one you drop is Castagna, and, he's bringing the pressure. They all are. I can't see how he can do it.
Yeah. And he's proven to be a tough matchup for the Giants. Yeah. There's just, and you can't drop Townsend after what he's done. And I just like, that they would. I couldn't imagine that they would go from trusting Jack Graham to stand shoulder to shoulder with Dangerfield at a stoppage to dropping him from the team. That seems unlikely to me.
Agreed.
Mm.
So, Nick, just quickly, Nathan Broad got a 1-year contract. Mm. Big fan of that. I think that's definitely, definitely deserved an extension, but it's a show me contract. you know, you could say maybe in earlier years that we've been slightly more generous to players having played a few decent games, and that this is something that I think works for both sides. I think I'm quite a big fan of contract, of getting good performances out of players in contract years. Doesn't always work, but it's definitely a thing in American professional sport. Mm. So aside from that, we'll obviously come back after the preliminary final, win, lose or draw, but it might take a bit longer if we lose.
Yeah.
I may not go for a long, long, long walk. It's great to be this deep. Nick, it's great to be in week three of the NFL season and still have Richmond playing.
I know. I'm going to be a complete mess, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And I even love the type of team that's got us. Of course, any team that makes it this far is a good team and has its own identity. But yeah, I've really enjoyed the ride, and I want another week, please.
I'm Andy.
I'm Nick. We're Richmond Tiger Talk.